When Walmart issues pay raises, the economy notices. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's evidence this week that the clobbered stock market is quite disconnected to the real world of work in the U.S. Walmart, America's largest private employer, is now going to boost wages by more than it first announced. Marketplace's Annie Baxter joins me now with details. What is Walmart's brass in Benton, Arkansas planning here, Annie?
Well, more than a million U.S. workers at Walmart and Sam's Club are going to get a pay increase. So under the plan, hourly workers hired before January 1st of this year will see their pay rise to a new minimum wage of $10 an hour. New entry-level workers will make less than that, but they will bump up to $10 an hour after completing a training program. But David, it's not just minimum wage earners affected here. If workers already make more than $10 an hour, they're going to get a 2% pay bump. And the company says these changes will increase the average full-time hourly wage of Walmart workers to $13.38 an hour and just under $11 an hour for part-time workers.
All right. And there are some other perks the company's throwing in, I understand.
Yeah, the company says it's also giving full-time hourly workers short-term disability benefits at no cost. And it will let workers take paid time off days as soon as they're earned instead of enforcing a waiting period.
All right. Out of the kindness of their hearts, perhaps not. But what's the context then?
Right. Well, Walmart has been under a lot of pressure from activists to boost wages. And you could say that they have some economic pressure as well. A lot of employers like them are struggling to find and retain workers, and that's forcing some pay hikes. So wages in the U.S. had an over-the-year growth rate of 2.5% in December. Now, that's not like mind-blowing growth, but it is one of the biggest annual gains in this expansion period. And there is some speculation that Walmart's moves will compel rivals to follow its lead.
All right, and we will watch for that as well. Marketplace's Annie Baxter in St. Paul, thank you very much. For those on edge, wouldn't it be nice to buttonhole a seasoned markets observer like Marketplace regular and Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan and find out how he is dealing with this? Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David.
How worried are you? You've been doing this for a while.
Well, every day the stocks trade, I look at the value of my portfolio and it's down, and that annoys me, but I don't think it's the end of life on the planet. The key is not to get completely crazed. Now, I'm 71 years old. I have to actually live off my savings at some point. If they were to shrink by a half, I would be very unhappy. If you're 31 years old and you're just starting, you can look at this as saying, well, gee, I'm getting a chance to buy it cheaper than Sloan or Brancaccio, those two codgers.
But do you draw a connection between all this market noise and the underlying economy? At what point should we start worrying about our jobs?
In terms of the idea that, well, the stock market is a leading economic indicator, there's a recession or a depression or the end of the economic world at hand, that's all nonsense. And let me add a fact, if you don't mind. There's a thing called the Index of Leading Economic Indicators, one of which is the stock market, but that's weighted very, very lightly. The index does not take it terribly seriously, and I don't see why you should.
Now, you've already revealed in this conversation that you are a septuagenarian. Why so many stocks in your portfolio? I thought you were supposed to move those aside.
I've been telling people for 8 years, you know, watch out for bonds. So what am I going to put it in? The only thing left for me to do was to put it in stocks, and that's what I did.
And hope that the company makes a profit and shares some of it with you.
Except the companies I own, they may have problems, but I think they'll continue paying their dividends. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, maybe I could come here and get a job on public radio and start a new career.
Where you will always be welcome, Alan. Alan Sloan is also editor-at-large at ProPublica. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thousands of foreign workers who came to the U.S. as students could be forced to leave, depending on the outcome of a court hearing in Washington today. The Department of Homeland Security has asked a federal judge for more time to craft new rules, allowing some recent grads to keep working here in science, technology, engineering, and math, these valuable so-called STEM jobs. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
The optional practical training program lets foreign students and recent grads get work experience in their field of study for up to a year. Those in the STEM fields can stay in this country to work for more than 2 years.
Because a lot of them are doing important research where it's generally more than a one-year project.
Immigration lawyer Emily Newman says back in August, a federal judge nullified the so-called STEM extension, but gave the Department of Homeland Security 6 months to come up with a new rule. The grace period expires February 12th, but the government has asked for more time.
Students are very tensed right now, not knowing if less than a month from now, they're going to be forced to leave the country.
The STEM extension is being challenged by a group of high-tech workers who say it takes jobs from Americans. Attorney John Miano represents those workers.
This extension was specifically designed to circumvent the limits on foreign workers.
The proposed new rule would increase the STEM extension to 3 years, but offer some protections for American workers. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And there's a whole genre of news stories about something weird being test marketed in Japan. Some years ago, it was cold coffee in a can. How strange was that? Yet now, any Starbucks in America has it. There's word this week about chocolate-covered French fries. McDonald's in Japan is trying them out. The fries aren't coated. The chocolate is drizzled on instead of ketchup. McChoco potatoes, they're calling it. Sorry about the name. I'm sorry about the whole thing, actually. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.